What is so dangerous about a character like Ferris Bueller is he gives good kids bad ideas.
Uh-huh.
Last thing I need at this point in my career is 1,500 Ferris Bueller disciples running around these halls. He jeopardizes my ability to effectively govern this student body. I have got to catch him this time, to show these kids that the example he sets is a first-class ticket to nowhere.
Oh, Ed, you sounded like Dirty Harry just then.
Hi, I'm Joe.
And I'm Tiana.
And this is Next Door Villain,
a podcast where we uncover the villains to discover their humanity. Anderson.
Here. I'm here.
Thank you. I'm really happy that you've decided to join the podcast.
All right, Ms. Stein.
Is that his name?
The actor is Ben Stein.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here too.
It's Tiana and Joe, your favorite villain podcast hosts, here to talk about the iconic film Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And perhaps the even more iconic Mr. Ed Rooney, the dean of students at the high school in the film, which I don't remember the name of. I don't know. The name of the school is irrelevant.
True. Because the only relevant person in the school is Ed Rooney.
Yes. Who, I don't know about you, Tiana. I didn't know that there were dean of students at high schools.
I didn't either. I kind of thought of him as more of like the principal and then maybe that school just called their principal something else. I don't know.
Well, so I Googled it. I Googled dean of students high school, and I found a job description, which I think kind of fits Mr. Rooney on the nose. It says a high school dean of students is an education professional who is responsible for the academic progress of students. He promotes good attendance rates and ensures school safety.
And promotes attendance rates.
Yeah, that's his number one concern, I think, in the film Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
No wonder why. So if you're sitting there wondering, like, oh, why is Mr. Rooney so hung up on attendance? Well, that seems like a very, very, very core part of his job.
Yeah, it's in his job description. And you know what? It's important to do what you are supposed to do in your job.
Yeah.
Anyways, so, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, a film from 1986 starring Matthew Broderick, made by John Hughes, also known for movies such as Pretty in Pink and 16 Candles. This was a film that I feel like is just one of those films that everybody has seen.
Yeah.
I wonder if like high schoolers today still watch this film, but when I was growing up, it was just one of those films. I don't remember when I watched it, but I just remember that everybody had seen it.
Yeah. I think it's such a good movie because it's a comedy on the surface, but there's a lot of interpersonal and like personal growth and conflict throughout the movie that makes it really good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun on a lot of different levels. I mean, yeah. Both fun and deep. And what was interesting for me is that I had a very different perspective on it as an adult than I did as a child, because when I was younger, Ferris Bueller was this cool kid sneaking out of school. And now as an adult, Ferris Bueller to me is this like punk kid who's like ruining everybody's lives for no good reason except that it's a nice day out. But we'll get into that. Before we do, if all you baddies out there, if you haven't seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off in a while, one, go rewatch it, or two, we'll give you a little recap here with our 30-second intro challenge, where we attempt to describe the entirety of the character, Ed Rooney, in just 30 seconds with no preparation.
Nice. Okay, you're going to go first.
All right.
All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
Ed Rooney is the dean of students at a high school, and it's very important to him to maintain control over the student body so that they respect him. However, there's this one student, Ferris Bueller, who has skipped out on school many, many times and kind of tries to intentionally make a fool of Mr. Rooney. Now, Mr. Rooney realizes one day that Ferris is pretending to be sick so that he can get a day off, and he makes it his mission to make sure that Ferris is found and back in class.
Very good. Got a really good gist. That was movie gist for you.
Are you ready for your turn?
No, but that's okay.
All right, perfect. 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, so Ed Rooney, he kind of makes an ass of himself because he like tries to call Ferris Bueller's, He's definitely a victim of Ferris Bueller's lies when he tries to get out of school, and he kind of looks like an ass, and so students don't really like him much, but Ferris is super popular, and that's really sad for Rooney.
Time's up. not your best showing, I don't think.
No. I'm trying really hard to, like, say something that you haven't said, but I feel like you just did such a good job at covering the gist.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Just kidding. Yeah, I'm just making up weird excuses.
Yeah. So I think, Tiana, that in some ways we both have kind of a connection to talk about this film in particular, because we both sort of work in and around education. Neither of us are the dean of students, and you even more specifically. I work at a college, and I don't work on the educational side. I work on the operational side of keeping the college running, but I still do deal with students a lot and see a lot of the wild things that students do. And Tiana, you work, or you have worked more directly even with students and helping guide them and educate them.
Yeah. I'm excited to cover Rooney because, you know, I definitely feel a bit of a connection to him because I have honestly needed to, like, be an advisor who needs to talk to students about their attendance or their grades or their issues that they're dealing with. I advise college students, but very similar, you know, to high school students in some ways. And sometimes I have to be, like, kind of a villain in some ways, because I have to tell them the reality of, like, hey, if you keep goofing around and you keep failing, you're going to get suspended, you're going to be delayed in graduating, your parents aren't going to be happy, you're not going to be happy. We have to figure out what's going on and try and get through those obstacles.
Is that what you tell them?
It depends, like, you know, depends. Sometimes it's good to be real with students and not beat around the bush, but also do it in a way that is helpful. So you kind of find that balance. And it depends, you know, on, you know, why the student is skipping class. Most of the time, the reason why a student is skipping class is usually due to, like, illness or family stress or lack of access to something like technology. We try to work with students to help them get through those obstacles and get them those resources. But, like, it's another story, though, when a student is, like, constantly skipping for days and days and days on end just because they're kind of, like, goofing around. That's a different story,
that,
you know?
Yeah, I think that's what's important to remember in this film, because Mr. Rooney goes a little crazy trying to track down Ferris. But we need to remember that Ferris is not a normal student. He's not missing for any of those excusable and understandable reasons you just listed. Ferris is skipping school out of just his own desire not to be there and to go do crazy wild things. And Mr. Rooney knows that. And yet everyone kind of seems to treat him like he's crazy, but he's actually just being gaslit this entire film.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my God, yes.
He consistently has the right instincts. Like, when Sloane's quote-unquote parent calls to say that her grandmother died and they need to let her out of school, he knows it's Ferris. Like, his instinct is correct. And then ultimately Ferris tricks him into then believing that it actually wasn't Ferris. That's classic gaslighting, when you know something's true and someone else knows that you know the truth and is making you believe that you are incorrect about that.
Yeah, they're like changing your reality or like trying to get you to question your reality. And when Ferris went into the computer system and changed how many days he was absent for, that's serious because he's making Mr. Rooney look like quote unquote crazy because Mr. Rooney knows that he's been absent 9 times in one semester. But then if he changes it in the system, it's going to make Rooney look really bad. And it's not good. It's manipulation. It's lying. It's serious. Like,
yeah. And you wonder, or like Mr. Rooney says right in the beginning of the film, I think a very good point in his defense, which is that if he doesn't have the respect of the other students, then he doesn't have any power at this school. He has hundreds or thousands, I don't remember how big the school is, of students who he has to be responsible for. And if they don't respect him, then he's really going to have a very difficult time doing that. And Ferris is so popular at this school that if Ferris is seen walking all over Mr. Rooney, then all the other students will think that they can do it too.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. So obviously he does some crazy things later on, but remember that, yeah, he is being gaslit and he is working with a student who has a lot of power at this school.
Right. The issue is even bigger than it being Ferris Bueller. It's the entire student body has to think about. Right. And I can understand how like being constantly lied to and being shown up can be so like, can be like really lonely and like isolating and infuriating all at the same time. The emotions pile up and then causes him to kind of show up at his house.
Yes. So that's, you know, until Mr. Rooney showed up at Ferris's house, I was actually like totally, okay, well, maybe not when he went to the arcade and told him in it. When he went to the arcade and your ass is mine to a woman in the arcade thinking that it was Ferris. So that was the first moment where I was like, maybe you went a little too far, Mr. Rooney. You let this one get away from you a little bit. But then he knocks Ferris's dog out with a vase, which pretty bad.
I mean, maybe it was just self-defense.
It kind of was, but also like he could have just left.
True.
When he knocked the dog out, the dog was on the other side of a fence.
Oh, that's what he did. He slammed the vase on a dog. Yeah. I didn't realize that. I thought he gave the flowers to the dog and the dog fell asleep from being full.
No, it was much worse than that.
Oh, I was very naive.
Yeah, breaking into Ferris's house then, also not good. So, but those are the only really terrible things he does. Otherwise, the rest of the film, when we see him do crappy things like being really mean to Sloane's fake dad on the phone, he's doing it because he knows that it's Ferris. He has good instinct.
Yeah, he does. He does. And Ferris is like a senior. So Rooney's probably like, I know this kid. I've known this kid for 4 years. I've been dealing with this shit for 4 years. So I have to admit that this, I think, was the saddest villain story that I have come across so far in this podcast, or that we've covered in this podcast.
I think you'll have to explain this.
Yeah, and that's saying a lot because Rooney doesn't even die at the end like so many other villains and so many other stories. But I think his like soul really dies at the end.
Mm.
And he seems just so defeated. And the reason why it's so sad is because Mr. Rooney, he knows that he's so unlucky to the point where it's almost ridiculous. Like there's so much misfortune happening to him one after the other as he watches this 18-year-old just thrive and win all the time.
Yeah, yet he was right.
Yes.
He was constantly right about Ferris, and yet everything went wrong for him.
Yeah. And the way that he was defeated was just so depressing to me. Because he, at the very end of the movie, you know, he's all torn up, like a dog was chasing him. you see him walking down the street and he has to like go sit on the bus. I don't know. It's so sad. His soul dies.
To make it even sadder for you, that contrast where at the start of the film, he talks about how important it is for the students to respect him, and then to end the film beaten down like that and then have to get on a bus and all of the students see him in this terrible beaten down state. It's exactly the opposite of what he wanted to happen.
Yeah. And like, how unlucky do you have to be that in the 2 hour span that you're at a house, your car gets towed away? Like, that never happens.
He did park in front of a fire hydrant.
Oh, crap. So I guess his emotions were just so high that...
He wasn't worried about fire safety.
No.
Terribly sad, though. Yeah. Put yourself in Mr. Rooney's shoes. This has been just the absolute worst day.
This is a story of how everyone ended up having a really good day, except Mr. Rooney. Mm. Like, everyone else had a good day. Ended up having a good day.
This movie could have been Mr. Rooney's bad day.
Right. That's basically what it was.
Yeah.
Going back to, like, you know, the contrast of Mr. Rooney kind of being seen as, like, the loser and Bueller seeming to, like, have everyone on his side and being the winner. This is so fascinating to me because Mr. Rooney is not considered cool, and I think he kind of knows it, but he's also like kind of upset about that and wants to win and maybe, I don't know, have some more self-confidence within himself or feel accomplished in something too. And so I think that's where some of the motivation is coming from. Do you remember when it was kind of a funny part when his secretary was like, "Ooh, Mr. Rooney, you sounded like Dirty Harry when you said that."
Yes, and she was like, that.
"Oh, really?"
I loved that semi-flirtatious back and forth thing that he has with that secretary. I couldn't quite figure out what the dynamic exactly was, but it was one of the most enjoyable things to watch. I don't know who that actress was, but she was incredible.
Yeah. I do like their relationship. They deal with shit together, but also call each other out, but also like hype each other out all at the same time and annoy each other at the same time too. It's a very, seems like marriage.
Yeah, it kind of does.
But you can just tell that like, oh, like I'm cool. You can tell that he like really wants to be seen as cool. And I think there's some resentment towards an 18-year-old kid who gets away with everything and walks all over him and all over everyone else. I can see how that like resentment can really build up, especially like when you're in your 40s and you still feel like you don't win or like as much as a random 18-year-old kid who hardly tries at school. And then this resentment just builds up and then it leads him to do crazy things like break into a house and go into an arcade and talk about asses or something.
Yeah.
Oh, were you going to say something?
I was just like politely agreeing.
Oh, okay, great. Good. Agree with me. Or else. But, you know, I feel like I've been similar to Rooney in this regard and like wishing I were as like cool as someone or as popular as someone. And it's a very common feeling, but it's real. It happens. I think almost everyone has felt this way, except for maybe like Kim Kardashian or something.
Well, like, think about it this way, because like this is very visceral for me. Didn't we all know a Ferris?
Oh, yeah.
That kid who was like annoyingly popular, though when you think about it in hindsight, was not actually like a good friend and was just kind of like a bit narcissistic. And that kid, I think, at least the one in my life, really took a downhill dive quickly after high school.
The classmates that I knew who were kind of like that actually just kept going up and up and up. Post-graduation.
Too. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Don't worry. They're going to fall someday. And when they do, you will feel so good.
I don't know if I will, though. I mean, part of it is that I can maybe tell that they've grown more. Like, maybe they have developed further to not be like Ferris Bueller.
Yeah. Well, let's, I really wanted to talk about Ferris Bueller more specifically, because he does remind me of people that I knew in high school that in hindsight, I think were kind of crappy people. So in Rooney's defense, for all the crazy stuff he does, Ferris does some really terrible things to people, and specifically to Cameron.
Yeah.
That is, more than anything, that stood out to me in this watch of the film, how, and I don't use this word lightly, how abusive he was to Cameron, basically bullying Cameron into doing whatever he wanted when Cameron clearly has some like severe anxiety, and just has a lot of really tough emotional things going on. He clearly has parents who are at best dismissive, at worst possibly abusive, negligent for sure. And not only that, but like, it's not that Ferris isn't aware of it. He tells us multiple times throughout the film exactly what Cameron's going through. He explains Cameron's difficult situation. And despite that, he still continues to take advantage of him. He pretends like he pretends like he's like this person who's there for Cameron and helping him, but really he's not. Really, he's just using Cameron for his fancy cars and I don't know, whatever else he gets out of that relationship. I'm not sure. Maybe just the power. Maybe he just likes to have some little lackey that he can control.
Yeah, and he claims that he's helping Cameron, pushing Cameron so that he can get better in some way, or like be less anxious or just have a good day. But like for the most of the day, Cameron did not have a good day.
No, he ended up in a catatonic state of like, yeah. I don't know, dissociation or something that he couldn't get out of for a while.
Right. And Ferris isn't, you know, he's not like a therapist, you know. I know that friends are there to help you, but like he didn't really do very well in that regard. And sure, maybe you could argue that like, oh, Cameron losing it at the very end and kicking the car out of the house, it'll then help him talk to his dad and be truthful with his dad and have some heart-to-heart conversations. But we don't actually know if that's going to help or not.
Yeah, I think that's how we were supposed to read the situation.
But yeah.
Watching this film as an adult, I'm like, this is not going to go well for Cameron. He is going to get in so much trouble.
It won't be a heart-to-heart.
I'm scared for what this dad is going to do to him when he finds out that his car, that there's one of like 9 total ever made, is completely destroyed.
Right.
Cameron's.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bad. This is not a triumphant moment. This is a moment orchestrated by Ferris Bueller that's going to ruin Cameron's life.
And there was even a moment that I noticed in the movie when Cameron messed up on the prank phone call, pretending to be Sloane's dad. Mm-hmm. Ferris, he like hit Cameron, like, stop doing that or whatever. And then Cameron was like, you hit me. And Ferris is like, I didn't hit you. It's so such a small interaction, but it's like another example of that like kind of gaslighting pattern that Ferris has, which just further proves that like he's very capable of doing it and does it.
Yeah. And knowing all that about Ferris, which Mr. Rooney, I think, does, this isn't the first incident he's dealt with. Like, Mr. Rooney has been dealing with Ferris long before the incident of this movie. Knowing all of that stuff that Ferris does, I think you can understand why he feels the need to get Ferris back into school and hopefully learning something rather than out abusing his friend.
Exactly. And keep in mind, like, there's a difference between like, oh, it's his one missed day of the semester versus 9 missed days of the semester. Like, before I rewatched this movie, I was like, oh, I don't know if I'll be able to empathize with Rooney very much because all I remember is him just missing one day. But then the movie reminded me like, no, it was 9 days. Like, that would really hurt. That would really hurt your grades.
Yeah. And you know this wasn't the first wild day either.
Right.
Right. Ferris has some really elaborate things that he does to get out of school Like, this isn't his first rodeo.
I know that there's some thrill to skipping school, but at the same time, it's kind of dumb because he totally could have done all those things on like a Saturday.
Yes.
Except maybe not steal the car, but like other than that, like a lot of like you could have just, you know, done the same thing on the weekend.
He also, Ferris is so, I hate him so much. He didn't even need to steal the car. Cameron offered to rent a limousine for them rather than stealing a car. And Ferris wouldn't even listen. And then Ferris gave, this guy, when they give the car to the parking attendant. And he's like, do you speak English? Oh, my God. How rude.
Condescending, ignorant, racist. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he tips the guy $5.
Oh, right. You're a very generous man. Not.
Yeah.
So someone else that I got kind of annoyed with was Ferris's sister, Jeannie.
Oh, yeah.
Because for the entire movie, she was kind of like on Rooney's side. Because she was also sick of Ferris getting away with everything and just doing whatever he wanted. And the only reason why she changed her mind and decided to help Ferris get away with skipping is because she made out with Charlie Sheen, gross, at a police station. And just because Charlie gave her an opinion that no one asked for about how she should feel about Ferris. That's it. That's the only reason. He said some really deep words and was Charlie Sheen, and she made out with him and she just got in a better mood, and that's it. I guess she did have some resentment towards Rooney for, you know, being in her house.
Yeah. So
that probably didn't help, but mostly it was because she made out with Charlie Sheen that changed her mind, and that makes me mad.
To me, that combo, especially where a strange man was in her house. And he looked really wild at that point because he'd been beaten up by the dog He'd been in the mud and he was all ruffled up. So realizing that that was Mr. Rooney in her house, I'm going to be on her side a little bit. That's also a nice realization she got from Charlie Sheen, which was like, why do you care so much about what he's doing? Like, just do you. Like, don't bother getting wrapped up in it. It's not about you. It's only going to bring you down to be sucked into that. Yeah. And she's finally just like, all right, I'm over it. And I hope this is the start of her being able to like let go and go on and be successful in her own right and not being preoccupied with her brother's stupid antics, which don't deserve her attention.
Funny enough, I think Charlie Sheen, out of all the characters in the movie, summarized the lesson in the movie, and big lesson, maybe a big reason why so many bad things happened to him is because he wasn't like focusing on himself. When Bueller focuses on himself and his own happiness, even though it's problematic because he can be abusive, but even when he focuses on his own happiness and how he can have a good day and have fun and focuses on his own success, he keeps winning in a way. But then when Rooney focuses on how someone else is winning, when Rooney focuses on how Ferris Bueller is winning and then he's currently losing, and when he obsesses about it, it contributes to his own downfall instead. Like he just gets obsessive about someone else and it takes the energy away from him being able to channel that into his own success, I think. And I think that's happened to me too.
When you view life as a win-loss scenario, then whenever you see someone else winning, then you must be losing.
Yeah.
And that's not actually the case.
Right. Like their success doesn't actually cancel out my success. And you'd think that I would get that by now, but it's easier said than done to apply that to your brain sometimes, especially like in the age of like social media.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I'll be like, oh my God, like this person is so popular and doing really well and everyone really likes their art and they grew in followers and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just a loser because of this. But then when I get hung up on it, it actually like drains my energy and then I'm not able to use my energy on my own success. And I'm not able to channel that into my own success and happiness. And I realize that. And I realize that jealousy is stupid. But it's hard to train your mind to think differently. And it's a journey. It's a journey for sure.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, like out of all the villains we've discussed, I feel a lot for Mr. Rooney.
I do too. And not thinking about all of his emotions and why he could be so resentful of Bueller. It's true that when your job sometimes entails you needing to do some harsh work in disciplining students or working with students on their attendance, like you have to do what you need to do.
Yeah. I'm sure it reflects on him if the students aren't doing well. That's part of his job. Again, it's in his job title, student attendance.
Yeah. Not only that does he have that stress, but he's also an educator in America, so he's probably not really getting paid enough to do that, especially in K-12.
He's definitely not getting paid enough to deal with someone like Ferris Bueller.
Right. That's probably what he's thinking, like, I don't have enough money for this. Been wearing the same suit since January. I don't know.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I feel totally... totally empathetic towards Mr. Rooney. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Let's see. I guess I can relate to him in that, like, I have needed to find a student before in my job, like, because a student wasn't attending class and kind of disappeared. The context here is that I was an international student advisor. So my job is to, as best I can, make sure that the students are not only thriving, but also like making sure that they're maintaining their visa statuses so that they can keep going to school. You know, like when they're on a visa to study, like you have to follow certain rules, which can be overwhelming sometimes. But my job is to kind of teach them that and, you know, remind them and just keep them on track. And so if an international student is not going to class and if they're suspended, it can really jeopardize their ability to stay in the United States. And just to be clear, it's not like I'm ICE, right? Like, I don't...
No, you're trying to keep them here.
Yeah. I just kind of like warn them and like, please, you know, keep going to class. I don't want you to have to go all the way to your home country when you've traveled so far to come here. So sometimes it gets to the point where it's like a welfare check where they're gone for so long that like you start getting worried about their well-being. And so what I did is I did go to a student's house here in town because like I couldn't get a hold of him or his friends didn't know anything. It was like very like, oh no, like, is he okay kind of thing, like a welfare thing. And so I went to his house and he was there and I just kind of remember like, the look on his face of being like, what the fuck? Like, just like, what are you doing here? And it's like, well, I wouldn't have to come if you just picked up your phone or said okay to an email. But I did feel weird because the roommate let me in. So I was already inside the house, right? So this could have totally turned into like a Mr. Rooney situation here. And so I was at the top of the stairs and he came out of his bedroom at the bottom of the stairs and was just looking up at me with these like bug eyes of like, what is happening? Like, what is going on? And I was like, oh, great. You're okay. Bye-bye. And I left. But he came to my office the next day and we, you know, talked about getting him back on track and stuff. And I only went out to the house because, again, like it was like after weeks and weeks and weeks of like trying to get in contact with him and us getting really anxious about his well-being and definitely felt a little like a Mr. Rooney situation in the house.
The point is like students just bless their hearts, but they don't always understand all the work that is going into providing them the education that they're getting and the resources that they need. They're not always fully aware of like how hard people have to work to make that happen. And that like in your case, if they are missing school, that there's someone who is out there whose job is it to, you know, look for them and you know, make sure that they're doing what they need to do.
And I can sometimes be seen as like a villain too, because sometimes I do need to have like some tough love or like tell it to them straight. If you keep doing X, Y, Z, you know, it can lead to certain consequences that you don't want to put yourself in. Please let me help you make some changes. And sometimes I have to be a little more stern if, like, I've talked to them multiple times and they're going to be suspended and they don't like me very much sometimes. It just happens. Oh, I'm going to get suspended. You know, I'm mad at you. And
yeah,
it's hard. It's hard. It can be really hard.
Yeah.
So that's basically all I had, except just that Charlie Sheen is weird. That's the last comment.
Even if he was hot to begin with, like right. The makeup they had on him to make him look drugged up was real gross.
He looked like he was in his like late 40s, and Jeannie's what, like 17 in that movie?
Yeah. I don't think Charlie Sheen was – Charlie Sheen must have been around that age too, right? He must have been early 20s in the mid-80s, right?
Wow.
He's not that old. Yeah. Right? I guess he probably is now, but
he looks old to me in that movie. He looked old to me. Sorry, Charlie. I don't know why I'm vilifying you so much.
Because he's a villain. Right. Like in real life.
Yeah. He's got some weird vibes going on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember what he did because, you know, so many celebrities have been doing crappy things. But I remember that he did some really crappy things, and then he like lost his show, and then everybody hated him. I don't remember why, but it was not good.
Yeah, it seems to be kind of a common thing with celebrities these days.
Oh yeah, celebrity men.
Yeah. Oh, I have another point actually. I think maybe Rooney will win eventually. Bueller probably isn't adequately prepared for college. If he tries to pull that off in college, he might not be able to get away with it as well.
Yeah, I think these shenanigans are going to catch up with him eventually.
And at the end of the movie, when Rooney finds Bueller at his house as Bueller is running in to try and not get caught, he like sees Bueller and he's like, I know, ha 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 ha, and now you're caught. I feel like maybe that moment also kind of lit some fire under Bueller's pants a little bit. Like, oh, this was really close. Maybe I should stop for the rest of the semester. I think it still might help him down the road, you know?
I sure hope so, but
we'll see.
I'll tell you, my hopes aren't very high.
Yeah, guess we just gotta check to see what Bueller's up to in 2021, 20 plus years after high school.
35 years after high school.
Everyone knows that I'm bad at math now.
Yeah, right. 86, 15 years to 2000, and then another 20. Yeah, 35 years.
Damn. Yeah, I wonder what Ferris is up to.
Well, you know what? I personally don't care because he's a real scumbag. And
who thinks he's really deep, too.
Yeah. Oh, God. All right. I don't want to talk about Ferris anymore. It's bumming me out. I fully empathize with Mr. Rooney. I feel like I did my job today.
Yeah, poor Mr. Rooney. Meow. Poor Mr. Rooney.
All right, and with those tears, we'll conclude our episode of Next Door Villain Podcast. I'm Joe, here with my co-host Tiana, and signing out.
Rate us on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, other stuff. Send us an email at nextdoorvillain@gmail.com. And we'll see you next time. Well, we won't see you, but
talk to you
will
next
hear
time.
Us next time. Yeah, talk to you next time.